The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. I guess we're back from a summer vacation. Hopefully a vacation. Certainly never a vacation from our children. And oftentimes not a vacation from the issues that face them and confuse us about dealing with their lives and their situations. And I thought that this evening we would spend a little time, as Rosh Hashanah is quickly approaching, dealing with some ideas of preparing our children for these critical days, the days of Elul, the days of Tishrei, days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and maybe some suggestions that might be helpful in just making this period of time a lot more meaningful for our children. Of course, we're dealing with many different ages, and it's hard to be all across the board. However, I'm sure there's some messages that are pertinent to all them and maybe even all of us. It seems that even though we're no longer living in the world of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the great Balei Musar, a Rabbi Yisrael Salanter who, when he heard the Chodesh Mevorchim Elul, fainted. Rosh Chodesh Elul, Yeh Beyoim. And he fainted because of the pachad, because of the fear, because of the overwhelming trepidation that it filled him with, knowing that it's Elul, and it's a month to Rosh Hashanah, and as the days got closer, I'm sure the trepidation increased. That world is really, you know, not ours. Of course, though, on the other hand, we probably all wish we were sitting in the sukkah already, you know, and this period of concern, let's say, would be over. Seems to me that our children feel more pachad, more fear, more concern with the Yomim Noiroim and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva than maybe even many of their parents feel. As we've discussed many times, children are very sincere. They're very straight. They take everything very seriously, and oftentimes much more seriously than the older generation. The older generation, no, we've been there, done that, Megitzah Hanetzah, we know, I've had many of these experiences. It sounds really scary, but you make it through, and before you know it, it's Sukkot time, and we made it. The younger generation takes it seriously. And even if we don't see fear written all over their faces, that is not to mean, and we shouldn't underestimate, how it is in fact on their minds. Judgment. Yemei Hadin, days of judgment. The responsibility to change, to improve, to become a better person. And then the final judgment on Yom Kippur, when this these decisions are sealed. B'yom Rosh Hashanah Yikosevun, U'v'yom Tzom Kippur Yechosemun. This certainly preys heavily on the hearts and minds of so many of our children. And the approach, one might say that, well, that's good, great, so then maybe they're going to improve. And yet we notice they don't seem to improve. In fact, many of our kids find it more difficult to engage and indulge in the right actions and activities and preparation and development of these days than all year long. And many even seem to be trying to run the other way. You know, it's like a strange phenomenon how you're afraid, if you're concerned, so why are you turning your back on her? And really, it's not very strange at all. Because one of the natural and most normal human reactions is that when the pressure gets too much, we just run. When it gets too hot in the kitchen, we run out of the kitchen. When we feel overwhelmed with pressure, we just run away. When we become overwhelmingly afraid of a lightning strike, we hide our head under the pillow and pretend that it doesn't exist. And that's part of what we do and part of what some of our children are doing. So we must find a formula, truth be told, for ourselves, but certainly for our children, that's going to make it a little bit easier for them to face up to the fact that this is a serious time of change. And I think that formula is so eloquently found in the famous words of the Ramban on the Posuk, referring to the Posuk, Ki imcho haslicho leman tivorei. David HaMelech said in the capital Kuf Lamed, 130th capital in Tillim, chapter in Tillim, David HaMelech said, with you, Hashem, by you, Hashem, is forgiveness, in order that you be feared. Your forgiveness makes it that people should fear you. And logic dictates that just the opposite is true. Your forgiveness should dictate that people wouldn't be afraid of you. If you really wanted people to be afraid of you, you wouldn't be so forgiving, and they would have more reason to be afraid. So what does he mean? Because with you, ki imcho haslicho, with you is forgiveness in order that you be afraid. And it seems from the Ramban that fear has a dual capacity. Fear can stimulate. I'm afraid. I got to do something about it. The adrenaline flows. We must rise to the occasion. Fear can also paralyze and cripple. And sometimes when we become overwhelmed with fear, we just bury our heads and just throw in the towel. We can't continue this way. So ki imcho haslicho, with you, Hashem, it's known that you forgive. Ah, now that you're so forgiving, we can in fact allow ourselves to be afraid of you. We're not afraid to be afraid because we know how forgiving you are. Our children must learn that this is a time of forgiveness. They must learn that Hashem is not out there to exact punishment, that it's ki imcho haslicho, in order to be willing to face Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with at least some attempt at growth and change, one must be acutely focused on the fact that Hashem is forgiving. If not for the knowledge that He is forgiving, the whole experience becomes something that's beyond our capability. In fact, this Motzoi Shabbos, or Sunday morning, we begin the Slichas. Slichas, Slichas, the word, Slicho, forgiveness. It's all about forgiveness. The highlight, the focal point of the Slichas, the Yud Gimel Midas. Hashem, the Midas HaRachamim before a person sins. Hashem is the same Midas HaRachamim even after a person sins and does tshuva. Kale, that He overpowers, the Vilna Gaon says, His anger in order to have mercy on us. Rachum, merciful. V'chanun, and He gives gifts. B'chinom, chanun, matnas chinom. He's gracious to us, giving us even undeserved benefits. Erech apayim, slow to anger. V'rav chesed, and so abundant of chesed and emes. No, it's a chesed lo alofim. He preserves chesed for 2,000 generations. We are still benefiting from the chasodim of the Ovois. He's still rewarding us, guarding that chesed, protecting it, and bestowing it upon the descendants of up to 2,000 generations. And they say, Ovoin v'fesha v'chato, that Hashem is so benevolently tolerant of all the different types of infractions, v'nake, and He even removes them. The Bali Musa say He removes the stain. In Israel, they call dry cleaning nikui yavish. He's menake. Nake, He cleans out, doesn't even leave a residue of the shortcomings and the mistakes that we have. That's what Hashem is about. With this image of Hashem, Slicha, with this mood of Slichus, we come to Rosh Hashanah, we come to a day of judgment. We come knowing that Hashem is sitting in judgment, but it's such a positive and merciful experience. He wants so much. He's mate klapi chesed. He's looking to do for us. Our children must hear and must learn and must see in us this belief and conviction and must get that message that Hashem is kind and loving. Erech hapayim v'rav chesed v'emes. And it's imcho haslicho. He's forgiving, he forgives, and therefore there's no need to be afraid to face up to our shortcomings because Hashem is there, ready, willing, and able to forgive us for everything. Don't be afraid to acknowledge a shortcoming. Don't be afraid to admit it. Don't be afraid to address it because Hashem is all about forgiveness. I think that creating an atmosphere, an environment in our homes where there's a certain simcha at the privilege of the Yomim Noroim, that we're rejoicing in the opportunity that we have for Hashem to judge us and judge us favorably. You know, one could paint the picture, and it might help, you know, with children, of an individual who's has a critical court date tomorrow morning. And his life, his business, everything depends on it and the decision that the judge makes. He's up the whole night preparing. He's constantly conferring with his legal counsel. He's reviewed everything and he's ready finally with awe and trepidation for this judgment day. Comes into the courtroom and the hour of judgment arrives. All rise, and out walks the judge, but the judge happens to be his father. My father is the judge. That feeling of security, of satisfaction, of love, of safety, of comfort, of solace, of no worry, nothing to be concerned. My father is judging. That's the attitude that our children have to hear. Ovinu Malkeinu. The one who judges, he's our king. He's also our father. Kirachem Ov Albonim. He judges us with the mercy that a father has for his child. And that has to be for us the source of chizuk and consolation. And when our children hear this and learn this and experience this and understand this, it makes it easier for them to face up to the entire system of the Yom Noroim, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. The concept of, or the major concepts of Rosh Hashanah have to be discussed with our children as well. They have to know that Rosh Hashanah represents the anniversary of creation. It's not exactly the day, but Hayom Haras Olam, it represents the anniversary of creation. There was a creation. Creation, by definition, bespeaks an act of purpose. Hashem created the world for a purpose. On Rosh Hashanah, maybe more than any other day, we have to understand that we were created for a purpose and understand what that purpose is and recognize our obligations and responsibilities in the fulfillment of that purpose. Hashem's purpose was to do chesed. Olam chesed yibone, was to reward us, was to benefit us, was to give us, was to make us feel good and happy in this world. And our purpose, in fulfillment of his purpose, is to create the circumstances so that he should be able to duly reward us. To earn that reward so that it should be appreciated. A reward that is not earned, is not appreciated, and is not really a reward, and Hashem is not really doing chesed to us, and we don't even feel it as such because we didn't earn it. So it's important that we have to understand this creation and this purpose and fulfillment of that purpose is critical in our development, in our appreciation of the meaning of this season. There's another thought which I think is also very important to convey to our children. A very, very important thought. And that is that Rabbi Saul Salanter taught that, you know, there's a mitzvah of tshuva. Seres Yimei Tshuva begins, the final culmination on Yom Kippur. But Rabbi Yisrael says that, who is Begeder Oise Tshuva? Well, if one looks technically and strictly at the Hilchos Tshuva, one says, to do Tshuva, a person has to have charota, remorse, on everything that he did wrong. And he has to be mekabel, that he's never going to do any of these things wrong again. Ad sheyoyed olav yedea ta'alumois, shelo yoshuv lezeh hachetoy, that he's never going to come back. Hashem should be made on him, that he's never going to return. Charota yogoin daigas, to such an extent of brokenness, of the pain that he sinned, that he did wrong. Vidui, to recite the vidui on all of our chatoim, with vidui and charota and kabbalah ala osid, there's so much that has to be done. It's so difficult on everything. I have so many mistakes. Eif shelafor tom ki rabim heim. Can't mention them all. There's too many. And it becomes overwhelming once again. The experience becomes overwhelming, and I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with Rosh Hashanah, and I don't want to deal with Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yisrael teaches us there's a message. Who is Begeder Oise Tshuva? He's considered in that category of a doer of Tshuva. One who institutes some element of change. The slightest change. A person is considered, he's doing Tshuva. I'm not there yet. I have a long way to go. There's many, many, many more things that I have to improve. But I'm making change. I'm doing something. I'm beginning the process. It's slow, but it's going to be steady. And slow and steady will eventually win the race. And this is very important because, unfortunately, sometimes our kids feel that I got to do so much, I might as well not even try. I'm doomed to failure. I'll never succeed. It's overwhelming. It's impossible. It's mind-boggling. It's paralyzing. Therefore, I might as well give up. And that, unfortunately, is a tragic, tragic era. If we're begeder oise tshuva for just some slight step, movement in the right direction, then certainly we have to encourage our children, make a step, do something, make a difference. And the truth of the matter is that this can be understood to be the lesson of the shofar. The lesson of the shofar. The Rambam says that the reason, the tam of Tkiya Shofar, is based on the Uru Yeshena Mishinaschem. Wake up from your slumber. Wake up. Now, wake up. When you wake up, maybe, you know, you can't take care of everything. But at least wake up. At least begin the process. Get up. Get up. Start. Start the day. Start the movement. Slowly but surely. But begin the process. And if our children realize that the beginning of the process is not just a cheap substitute for doing tshuva, but the beginning of the process is actually begeder, as Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says, oise tshuva, you're in that category of doing tshuva, I am doing tshuva, I'm going slowly. That is a tremendous encouragement. Okay, that I could do, that I could do. It's interesting to note, we see sometimes in print the Kabbalas of Gedei Le'olam. A few famous ones were printed up a number of years ago. And the small things that they were makabel, they didn't necessarily, well, it could be that they, you know, they didn't have any big things that they did wrong. But it's so beautiful sometimes. Just the little things, a small tikkun, because a small step in the right direction means I'm focused and moving in the right direction. If I'm not poised to walk the right direction, then I could be getting further and further away. So this is something also that our children have to hear. Our children have to hear again and again. Our children have to know. It has to help mitigate the fear. It has to help mitigate the pressure. It has to help mitigate this overwhelming sense of I can't do it. It's too much to do, so I might as well give up. And the results can definitely be very, very positive because of the fact that the pressure has been somewhat removed. I think there's another message that our children must hear, and it's an empowering message at that. it occurs to me that many, maybe one of the most blatant absences in our system of raising and being mechanech our children today is that they don't always learn a sense of responsibility for themselves. You know, we have loving parents who are constantly directing and guiding and ruling and demanding of their children. And there's a subtle message in all of that, not to mention all the rules of the schools that they attend and the expectations that every adult member of society has for them. And they tend to get a subtle message that I'm not really responsible for myself. My parents, the school, the rules, the someone else is responsible. I don't learn responsibility for myself. I'm always being told what to do. I'm always being guided and directed and expected to live within certain guidelines. And therefore, I don't get the sense of feeling responsible for my own destiny, for my own future. Sad, that is, for two reasons. Number one, if a person doesn't feel responsible for himself, he doesn't really feel very good about himself. Because if someone else is really responsible for everything that I do, then what am I? I'm trash. I'm not really very much, not really very choshev, I'm not really an individual, I'm not really a mensch, I'm nothing. But more than that, when someone else is responsible, I don't learn to take responsibility and to feel that sense of I am responsible to perfect myself, to grow myself, to develop myself, to correct myself, to inspire myself, to motivate myself, and I rest on my laurels and I await the outside influences to take me and lift me and push me and guide me and motivate me. And of course, the end result is certainly not very, very positive. So our children must hear this message that they are responsible for themselves and they have to work on themselves. And responsibility says something else. When I give my child the responsibility, I say, you are responsible for the development of your personality. You are responsible for fulfilling the appropriate standards of behavior and action in your lives. And you are responsible for the ultimate accomplishments that you have to achieve. By saying that, I'm saying to them something that's so empowering. And that message is, we, as parents, believe in you. Wow, I feel so good. I feel so good about myself. We've said here many times that happiness, the definition of osher, of happiness, is validation, feeling good about myself. When my parents give me responsibility to take care of the most precious thing in their lives, their children, me, that gives me a sense of validity that, wow, I must in fact really be something. And this can uplift and this can inspire and this can really generate within our children this ability to grow and to improve because they feel good about themselves, because they feel empowered and trusted by their parents to rise to ever higher occasions and ever greater control of themselves and development. I think that there's maybe one other point which should also be very important in this whole experience of Rosh Hashanah. And it's a point which really is very basic. We know the halacha says, in Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber says, Mechabsin, Misrachatsin, Mistaprin, we wash our clothing, bathe, and take haircuts on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the Mishneh Berurah brings that from the Achronim, it's to show ourselves, to show laharis b'nafshenu, laharis, to show she we are betuchim in Hashem's chesed, that He will be yoytzi letzedek dinenu, that He will judge us favorably, that He will judge us in a favorable way, and that we will come out zakai, we will come out winning in the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. The mood of Erev Rosh Hashanah is one of bitochon. The mood of Erev Rosh Hashanah is, I am showing my trust in Hashem, that by treating it like a yontif, I wash, I bathe, I wash my clothing, I take a haircut. So I'm showing that I have this trust that this is Hashem is going to do good for us. Hashem is going to judge us favorably. Development of that trust in the minds and the hearts of our children is critical. They should see in their parents, and they should feel in themselves this sense of trust. Sense of trust permeates the entire Rosh Hashanah. Instead of being a day of fasting, instead of being a day of moping, instead of being a day of sitting around and worrying, it's a yontif. Suda is yontif. Erev yontif. Mechabsin, mestaprin, mesrachatzin. And it's a yontif experience. It's a holiday experience. It's a festive experience. Because we are to express, to show, and to feel that trust in Hashem's kindness, that He will in fact judge us favorably. When we can create that kind of mood of bitochon, of trust, then our children are no longer so fearful. Ki imcho haslicho lema'am tivorei. The pressure is reduced. I trust Hashem. I'm not so worried as I would have been, because I'm putting my trust in Him that He's going to take care of me, and it becomes easier to listen to the Kol HaShofar and to be able to focus on that level of self-improvement and taking responsibility for myself that our children actually need in order for them to improve and to enhance their development in the year to come.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.